Hey, welcome to True North Church, and welcome back to a series that we're in that we're calling Keep Hope Alive. You know, we're living in a world that feels a little bit like a dumpster fire these days, between political unrest and racial issues and, you know, global pandemics and just even all the personal stuff that we deal with, that I know I deal with on a daily basis. There's a lot of days where I just feel like the world is hopeless and we could use a little bit of hope. And so that's honestly the heart of where this series is coming from. Just honestly, from my heart to yours, what I want more than anything out of this series is for people to just walk away from this with some hope. And I believe I have the answer. I believe we have the answer. Those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, for where to find real, true, authentic, lasting hope. And that is found in Jesus Christ, in our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us, who died for us so that we could be saved from our own sin and from all of the nonsense that we have to live through in this life. He has given us a promise. That is the promise of salvation, the promise of heaven. And so we talked about that in the first 2 weeks. I encourage you to go check out the first two messages on YouTube because if nothing else out of this series, like, those are the two things that we want you to hear more than anything, that we have a living hope in Christ and that we have a promise of eternity in heaven with God, and that all this stuff that we go through in this life, one day it's going to be no more. And there's going to be no more pain, and there's going to be no more suffering for those of us who put our faith and our trust in Christ. And that's why Jesus is just, he is so important in my life. It's so important that we are telling as many people about him as we can, because we believe Jesus will change your life. He will. And one of the biggest things he does is he gives us hope. He gives us a purpose and a future and just more things than I can even begin to get into in a few minute message. And so we're in this series. We're in the series Keep Hope Alive. And I got to be honest, like, even though I know all that, like, sometimes there are still days when it's still really hard to keep hope alive. Like, there are days when just the struggle and the things that I go through, they leave me feeling like I don't know how much longer I can do this. Like, I'm ready to, throw in the towel, so to speak. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think there are many of you who are watching this or listening to this, and you have those days, whether it's something to do with your kids or a relationship that you have or some struggle you're dealing with, in your job or a health issue that's chronic, and you're just dealing with this over and over again, and it can be so hard, because what happens to us is we want to focus on that thing, whatever that struggle is, right? It's so hard not to, isn't it? And the question that's just been kind of running through my mind this week is, like, how do I persevere in those moments when I just don't feel like it? Like, there are days when I don't feel like it, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to persevere. And what's the difference between somebody who does persevere and somebody who doesn't? And I've been thinking about that this week as well, and really, I keep coming back to this word focus. Like, if we really want to persevere in all circumstances, no matter what situation we're in, I believe we have to have a new type of focus. You see, we can't focus on the problem, because that just doesn't work. Come on, can we be honest? Like, focusing on the problem never works. The more I fixate and focus on the issue, the problem, the circumstance, whatever it is, I just get deeper and deeper into hopelessness, right? It just sucks you in. But when we begin to focus on something that actually can, like, provide a little bit of hope, that can get our eyes and mind off of the problem, like, stop focusing on the problem, it changes everything, doesn't it? Like, for instance, I got involved in this 8-week challenge a couple of weeks ago with my brother-in-law and some of his buddies. And there's all these, like, physical challenges, and each week there's, like, one big challenge. that everybody is supposed to kind of like compete in and try to get the highest numbers or whatever. And so this week, it is a wall sit. Now, I don't know if you've ever done a wall sit or know what that is, but essentially you sit with your back flat against the wall. You kind of drop into a 90-degree position with your legs like you're sitting on a chair, and you just got to hold it for as long as you possibly can. It is as awful as it sounds. Like, after 1 minute of doing a wall sit, your legs are already starting to burn, and you're like, I don't know how much longer I can take this. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to go. And so the very first time I did this wall sit on Monday, I didn't have anything, you know, I wasn't listening to music, I wasn't watching any, you know, TV or reading or anything. I just sat down and started to do this wall sit, and I'm just watching the clock, right? And like a minute in, and I'm done. And so I'm like, all right, I got to fight through. Like, a minute, that's a joke. That's pathetic, right? So I get to a minute 30, legs are starting to shake a little bit. I get to 2 minutes, I mean, my legs are really shaking now. Like, I'm feeling the burn, baby. And by the time I got to 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I was done. I tapped out, right? And so in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm a super competitive person. I am not losing this challenge. I will bleed to win this challenge. And so the second time I did this, I decided I'm going to listen to some music while I'm doing this. I'm going to pick like kind of a long song, and I'm going to listen to this song and just try to focus on the lyrics, and I'm not going to look at my watch, and I'm making it to the end of this song, right? And so I sit down, get in position, I start the song, and it starts going, and, you know, I'm watching, you know, every once in a while, you know, I do peek over at the clock, and I get to a minute, and I'm shaking again, and then 2 turns into 3, and 3 turns into 4, and by the time I hit 4 minutes, man, I was like, oh, I am on fire right now. I don't know how much longer I can make it, but the song is still going. 5 minutes in, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, finally, at 6 minutes, the song ends, and I drop, my legs are shaking, I can barely stand up, but I went from 2 minutes and 30 seconds to a 6 minute wall sit. It was only 2 days later, so I wasn't that much stronger, right? The reason I was able to do that was what? Focus. The first time, what was I focused on? All I was focused on was the pain that my legs were in, but the second time, I was focused on that music, I was focused on the lyrics, I was focused on getting to the end of that song. I took my focus off of the problem, and I put it on to something else, something tangible, something that was easy to kind of latch onto and hold onto, that was right in front of me. And it inspired me to press on, to not give up hope. In the exact same way, when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to the challenges that we face every single day, we have a choice. We can put our focus on the problem, we can put our focus on the pain and the kind of the suffering that we're going through, or we can put it onto something else. And here's the truth that I want you to hear as we begin today. Your Heavenly Father, He wants you to have a persevering kind of hope, the kind of hope that can get through anything, no matter how bad of a situation, no matter how much the world feels like it's burning around us. He wants us to have a persevering hope. And so today I want to give you something really practical to kind of latch onto and grab a hold of. In the same way that as I did that wall sit, that music was like this practical thing that I could focus on, I believe there's something very practical that we can focus on that will take our minds off of the pain and the struggle that we're going through, and that will have an eternal kingdom impact. And at the end of the day, this is what I want for you. I want you to have hope, and I want you to have impact. And I believe what we're going to talk about today could bring that in your life. And so here's the truth I want you to grab onto as we get started. If you want persevering hope, you got to take your focus off of the problem, and you got to put it on people. Take your focus off the problem and put your focus on people, specifically on impacting people and influencing people for the kingdom, for the glory of God. And when you begin to do that, you will be amazed at how it changes your life, how it changes your perspective, and how it increases your influence. Today, we're going to look at Paul, this amazing example that he sets for us. We're going to be in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Now, if you know who Paul is, you know he wrote much of the New Testament. You know that he was this amazing man of faith who championed the gospel in the ancient world, who started, you know, he was the first church planter. He started churches all over the ancient world, but he was also this incredibly persecuted individual who went through the fire in this life. He was beaten and tortured and imprisoned and shipwrecked, and I mean, he just went through it all. And this particular letter that we're going to look at, he wrote from prison. And so in this moment, he's going through the struggle, man. He's dealing with it in a big time way. And yet he has this unshakable, just persevering hope that I think could be such an encouragement to you today and to me. And it is an encouragement to me today to take my focus off of my problem and to put it on influencing people. So let's pick this up. He begins in Philippians 1, chapter 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so Paul begins this letter by vocalizing his love and affection and gratitude for this church that he helped get started. You see, the Philippians, they were an encouragement to Paul because they were actually doing what they were supposed to do. Many of the churches, he had to write letters. If you read some of the other letters of Paul in the New Testament, he writes these letters that are like, listen guys, get back on track, fight the good fight, do what you're supposed to do. But this church, the church at Philippi, he's excited. It says that he always prays with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. They are doing kingdom work. They are doing good work for the kingdom. People are coming in to the family of God because of the ministry of this church. And Paul is excited about it. He has joy in it. And it is giving him hope. Remember where he sits when he writes those words. He's sitting in a prison cell. He is not in a good place physically, and yet somehow, some way, spiritually and mentally, he's talking about having joy, he's talking about having hope. Why? Because his focus here is not on where he is. He is not focused on his prison cell. He is not focused, in other words, on his problem. He is focused on his mission. And what is his mission? His mission is to see people's lives changed. And he is seeing that happen. And because of that, he has joy and he has hope. Now, we're going to jump down to verse 12. Because Paul, not only does he want to encourage them and let them know that he is thankful for them, but he wants to let them know that he is okay. Because you got to imagine that this church, they're worried about Paul. He's imprisoned. He's going through some really difficult things. And yet Paul wants them to know that in spite of that, he has hope. This is what he says. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So again, Paul is in prison. He's in chains. But where is his focus? He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. His focus is not on his problem. His focus is on advancing the gospel. It is on seeing people's lives changed. That is his focus. See, this is a perspective that I think all of us, if we would kind of take this to heart, really latch onto this and grab a hold of this, it would change everything. It would change the way that we look at our suffering and the problems that we face and the pain that we go through. Paul saw his suffering as an opportunity to advance the gospel. He saw his suffering as an opportunity to influence people. And that is where he put his focus. He is sitting in this jail cell. And what does he say? Because he's in this jail cell, as a result, it's become clear to him, the whole palace guard and everyone else that's there, the prisoners, the guardsmen, everyone, they have all come to Christ. They have all come to faith because of his confidence in the Lord, because of his unwavering faith, because he did not lose hope or lose heart, because he stayed focused on them and talking to them. Imagine, he's sitting in that jail cell every day, and that guard's just standing there. He's talking to him. Hey man, you got to hear about this guy, Jesus. Let me tell you about how he's changed my life. Let me tell you about what he can do for your life. His focus was not on his problem. He wasn't sitting there in the back of that jail cell like, oh, woe is me. I'm never going to get out of this place. God, why don't you just kill me now? No. No, his focus is on the people that he is given the opportunity to interact with. And then he closes out with this kind of final statement that just blows me away. The perspective that Paul has here. I want this perspective. He says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, however, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter, he says? That doesn't matter. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of that, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. See, Paul had every reason to be down on himself. Paul had every reason to throw in the towel and say, forget this. I mean, I've done everything you asked me to do, God. I've preached this message of the gospel everywhere I could preach it. I preached it even under threat of being killed and thrown into prison. And look where it got me. It got me nowhere. I am stuck in this prison cell. That could have been his mindset, but that's not what Paul says. He even talks about the fact that there are some people who are preaching the gospel now, and they're doing it under false pretenses. They're slandering Paul. They're talking about how Paul deserves to be in prison, and they're preaching now just so that they can look good in the eyes of man, so that they can kind of take the place of Paul and be elevated and raised up in status by the world's standards, but they really don't care that much about people's lives being changed or the gospel being advanced. And if you're Paul, you're sitting there and you're looking at that and you're like, come on, are you kidding me? Like, these guys, they're preaching the gospel for their own advantage, and I was preaching it to see people's lives changed, and I'm the one who ended up stuck here in this prison cell. If it was me, I'd probably be pretty frustrated, but not Paul. That's not his attitude at all. Instead, this is what he says, and this blows me away. He says, even though there are people who are preaching Christ out of selfish ambition and trying to stir up trouble for me, he says, it's okay. It doesn't matter. The important thing is that Christ is being preached, that people are hearing the gospel, that the good news is getting out there to more and more people. And because of that, again, he says, I have joy and I have hope. See, Paul's hope, it's not in his accomplishments. It's not in what's happening to him. It's in what's happening to others. It's what's happening for the kingdom. And so he says, because of that, I will continue to rejoice. His focus was not on his problem. It was not on his suffering. It was not on his pain. It was on the people. It was on his mission, the mission that Jesus Christ gave him, to see the gospel advanced and to see lives changed. See, the truth is today that heaven can seem so far away. It can. And sometimes I feel the presence of Jesus, and then there are other moments where I don't always feel him, right? Like, God sometimes can feel distant. You can't see him or touch him or feel him, but there is something that is always in front of us. Something incredibly tangible. And this is what God challenges us to put our focus on. It's people. There are always people right in front of us. And this is what Paul focused on. And I believe he found tremendous hope in focusing on people and seeing their lives changed for Christ. It is the thing that allowed him to sit in that prison cell in the midst of what most of us would deem the most awful situation you could pretty much find yourself in and still have hope. It wasn't about him. He was not focused on his own problems. He was focused on others, proclaiming the gospel to people, seeing their lives changed. It took all of the focus off of his problem and it put it on people. And so here's the bottom line. This is the message today. If we want that kind of hope, if we want the kind of hope that perseveres in all circumstances, we must take our focus off of our problems. We have to. We have to. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't be, doing everything we can to fix and work on those problems and try to make those things better. But at the end of the day, there is only one thing that's going to matter at the end of this life. And that is the impact and the influence that we made for Jesus and his kingdom. Because at the end of the day, the reality is this, that every person who's alive on this planet is either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. And time is short. And we need to do everything in our power. There's no time to worry or think about the problems of this life that is going to go bye-bye so quickly. We got to focus on the future that is to come and the people who are going to live again, either in heaven or in hell. We have an opportunity, if you are a Jesus follower, to make an impact, to have influence, but we cannot do that if we're fixated and focused on our problem. Paul understood that better than just about anybody. Take your focus off your problem and put it on people. The more we focus on ourselves, honestly, this is the truth. The more we focus on ourselves, the more we focus on our problem, the more miserable we will become. And the more we focus on others, the more we focus on people, the more hope and joy we will have, especially as we begin to see people's lives changed by the good news of Jesus. And so here's my challenge to you. Do you want persevering hope? Do you? I do. And I want that for you. Take your focus off your problem and put it on people. What does that look like practically? I mean, really, at the end of the day, right? How do I do that? Well, how about in your job, where you work, right? Maybe things aren't going so well for you right now. Maybe you got a boss who's just miserable and making your life miserable and everybody else's life miserable. You can focus on that. You can focus on that problem. You can let it weigh you down. You can go, you know what? I'm going to quit. I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm done with this. I can't do this anymore. Or you can see that as an opportunity to influence the people who you work with, to show them what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus in that moment. How do you respond in that moment? How do you treat your boss? How do you encourage others, right? And as you do that, here's what you're going to find. The problem is going to seem secondary to the primary focus that you have of helping people see and experience Jesus in that moment. Maybe it's something to do in your family. Maybe you've got a crisis going on. Maybe it's with your spouse. Maybe it's with one of your kids. How can you focus on the people in your family that God has entrusted to you, that he's put in your life, rather than focusing on whatever that problem might be? How can you point them to Jesus? How can you be an example for them of steadfast, faithful trust in who he is, right? Your influence in their life, it might have an eternal impact. How about just the world that we're living in and the chaos and the craziness, right? People are, you know, you got two sides fighting against each other. It's seemingly in every facet, in every area of our culture right now. How can you, in the midst of that, point people to Jesus? How can you share the love of Christ, the amazing news, the gospel of how Christ came to save and to seek the lost, right? You have an opportunity, if you are a Jesus follower, to not focus on your problem and to focus on people. You see, whenever there is a problem, whatever it might be, It is an opportunity to influence people. I want to say that again and maybe encourage you to write that down. Whenever there is a problem, it is an opportunity to influence people. Instead of asking, why, God? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you letting me go through this thing? Here's what we need to ask. We need to ask God, who? Who can I influence for your glory because of what I am going through right now? In the exact same way that Paul was able to influence the guardsmen and the other prisoners that he was with, and even the church outside of those walls because of what he was going through, he was able to encourage those people. They saw his faith. They saw the way that he persevered, and it gave them hope. And because of that, it gave him hope. I know life is hard. And I know it can be so easy to lose heart. But I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Don't give up. Focus on doing good. Focus on reaching people. I love how Paul puts this in another one of his letters to a different church, the Church of Galatia. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Don't give up doing good, even though we might be facing difficulties and trials in our life. Don't give up doing good, because one day we are going to reap a harvest. It says we're going to get a reward in God's timing. Don't give up doing good. Continue to fight the good fight. Focus on the people around you, the people that you're coming in contact with every single day. And I promise you this, you will see your hope increase. You will. And again, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. You know, Jesus had this overwhelming message. And if you read the Gospels, you will find this to be true. That his overwhelming message was this: love people. Love people. Every person that you encounter, you are to love them. You are to point them to Christ. You are to care for them. You are to show them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is his overwhelming message. And he has given that mission to us. He's laid that on us. He said, your mission is people. And whether you realize it or not, focusing on that mission is actually critical to you persevering in this life and not getting bogged down by all of the other stuff that can bog us down. What's amazing to me about Jesus is that he didn't just preach it, he lived it. He modeled it. He showed it to us in the most amazing way possible. He died for us. He laid down his life for us. Jesus had this unwavering hope, right? This unwavering perseverance. Why? Because he was focused on people. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered and he died to save us from our sin. And as he was going through that terrible pain, do you know what was on his mind? This about brings me to tears when I think about it. You were on his mind. And I was on his mind. Not his pain, not his suffering. That's not where his focus was. It was on you and it was on me, and he endured it. As Hebrews 12:2 says, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. Why? For you and for me. And today, if you hear nothing else, it's that Jesus Christ died and suffered for you because he loved you, because he wanted you to have hope. And so today, if you're a Jesus follower, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Cling to that truth. Cling to that promise. Stop focusing on your problem and start focusing on the people around you that Jesus has given you an opportunity to influence. And if you don't know Christ, if you've been on the fence about him, if you've just questioned whether or not he's really worth following, to me, this is it. This is the reason. This is why we follow Jesus. Because he endured the cross. He endured that suffering. He didn't focus on the problem at hand in that moment. He was focused on you. And if you will give your life to him, if you will surrender to him and say, okay, Jesus, you can have all that I am, I'm going to serve you and follow you from this day forward. He will put a new hope in your spirit, and he will give you a mission to seek out lost people like I was, and like maybe you have friends and family that are. He wants to use you to move beyond the problems and the challenges that you're facing in this life and to focus on people. And so today, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what struggles you might be going through, but I know this, beyond shadow of a doubt, that Christ has a plan, has a purpose, has a future for you and a hope for you. He wants you to keep hope alive. And one of the most practical, simple ways that he has given us to not focus on the problem is to focus on people. Let's pray. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I pray that you would help us to focus on people. Focus on people. Focus on people, not our problem, God. And that because of that, we would influence many. That more people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus because your people have focused on people. God, I just pray for change in this world, this crazy world that we're living in. God, I pray for hope in this world. Pray that more and more people would see the reality of your son, Jesus, and be changed. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.